It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
All right, welcome to Money for Lunch. Man, it's good. Life is good. Life is rocking and rolling. Had a pretty good weekend. Hope that you guys did the same. Let's just get into it. I want to start with the quote of the day, if you will. Make your product easier to buy than your competition, or you will find your customers buying from them, not you. That is from Mark Cuban. Make your product easier to buy than your competition, or you will find yourself, or you will find your customers buying from them, not you. Not you. Interesting thought. Sometimes maybe a challenge to implement. However, that's okay because we're going to be talking a little bit about customer service and selling and all that stuff that goes with it. My guest today, Corey Angelin. Corey Angelin is award-winning fitness professional and two-time published author. He has worked with some of the largest health clubs in the country. He's recognized in both television and in print publications, including Sports Illustrated, USA Today, Maxim, Training and Conditioning, and Stack Magazines, just to name a few. A sought-after motivational speaker, he was a guest speaker for the IDEA Health and Fitness Association. He's also enjoyed television success on QVC. His website, Corey Angelin, offers ongoing support and education for that business professional in everyone. Also, he has a new book, Sell Out, How a Great Experience Can Help You Sell Out of Your Product. Corey Angelin, welcome to Money for Lunch.
I need to hire you as a professional introduction person. That was phenomenal. I'm raring to go. I had my Starbucks. I'm all about it today.
That's right, man. All right. So let's just jump into this. You like to say that create a great experience for your customer. And I want you to talk about this because a lot of people really find this to be difficult. You know, they're selling a widget or maybe they're a restaurant or a service corporation or a service business. So talk about creating a great experience for a customer and how does that translate into a sale?
Oh, wow. Awesome, right? So I'm so passionate about creating a customer experience, and here's why. I believe almost every salesperson is horrible at sales. Now, I know that sounds harsh, but I will tell you why I believe that. We don't go to school to learn how to sell. So I majored in sports medicine. At no time in college did my professor in my biomechanics class say, okay, today, class, we're going to learn how to sell, right? So we seem to not have that skill set. But over the course of the last two decades, what I found is that if you really build a customer experience, and there are some steps you can do that, it is easier to build trust with the customer and therefore easier to make a sale at the end.
Yeah. And I think one of the things you're talking about, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that a lot of salespeople really talk about themselves or the company. I cannot tell you how many times I've gone to an auto dealership and the manager will say, hey, Mr. Martinez, this is so-and-so, and he's our number one salesperson. Well, you know, why do I care that he's the number one salesperson? I mean, you know, instead of saying, hey, this is, you know, so-and-so, and he's got an awesome knowledge about, you know, getting, you know, customers into the right vehicle, or he has a great knowledge about the ergonomics of, you know, introducing somebody as a great salesperson is only, I think, a viable introduction if you're in a, I don't know, sales organization, or you're at a sales seminar and maybe this number one salesperson is about to give a talk on why he's a number one salesperson. Other than that, it's a horrible introduction. But you see this over and over again where people will start talking, sales professionals will start talking about their company, their product, how many years they've been in business and all this other stuff. And it's like, you know, they're starting off on the wrong shoe. Your thoughts?
Absolutely. we sell way too much, first of all, right? So to your point, so, you know, walk into any store in the mall. Salesperson walks up to you. What do you think the first question they ask you is?
In the mall, let's see, what are you looking for? Something along those lines, right?
Yeah, how can I help you, right? Not right. Really getting to know you or even asking your name. It's ultimately like, what can I help you with? And then 99.9% of the time, we, all of us, say, I'm just looking. I find that fascinating, right? Even when there have been times where I needed help, but I still said, I'm just, you know, I'm fine. I'm just, you know, I'm going to just look on my own. And that's because we don't want to be sold. So to your point, we sell too much. What I believe should happen, the first thing in any sales experience, if you really want to create a great experience, is you got to build rapport. Now, for me, there's three aspects that go into building rapport. Building rapport sounds easy, right? But the first thing is you need to plant some seeds. Not sell, right? But you need to give a person an idea, plant seeds along the way. And there's certain questions you can do to, you know, you can do to do that. But more importantly, you need to activate the decision-making part of the brain. And that's real simple because it sounds, it's really just a feeling question. So if someone's shopping for a car, you might say something like this. So how would it feel driving down the road in that brand new whatever make and model of the car is? And then what that does is it starts getting that middle part of the brain, which is the part that makes decisions, sort of thinking about, okay, I could see myself in that car. And then the last thing is there are great questions to build rapport where you can actually overcome objections before they even happen, right? So, for example, I always love in any customer experience, you know, let's say they're going to buy personal training, just to use a fitness example. I would say, sure. Listen, other than yesterday, right, if you couldn't choose yesterday, when would you really want to start getting after that goal of yours in terms of losing 10 pounds? And then most people would say today. So building rapport is all about asking great questions that plant seeds, activate the decision-making part of the brain, and overcome objections. That's what I believe a great start to a customer experience is, not talking about how great of a salesperson you are, and certainly not talking about a great promotion or sale you have going on. Because once you start talking about numbers in the beginning of an experience, you start selling too much.
Yeah. And you know what's interesting is we naturally, as human beings, ask questions to build rapport. When we're on a date, we're constantly asking questions. You know, how did you get here? What did you, you know, what is this? And, you know, whatever, whatever. And the reason that you're asking all these questions on a date is because you're trying to build that rapport. You're trying to find some common ground. And it seems like when you take that rapport building opportunity and you translate it to, let's say, the professional environment, most people screw it up. They get nervous, I think. They forget that we as humans naturally kind of do this on a day-to-day basis. It doesn't have to be some weird scientific, you know, scripted format.
You're exactly right. First of all, you brought me back to all of my dating years, so I thank you for that. But you're exactly right. And then, you know what, to your point, I'll tell you the biggest miss I think we have as salespeople. Once you build rapport, right, you have to spend some time getting to know what the customer's actual specific goals are, right, what their needs, what their wants are. And I feel like a lot of times we kind of brush over that because we're so nervous about wanting to sell something that we actually don't spend a lot of time talking about what, you know, what the customer wants. So whether they're looking for a specific car, you want to know why it's that particular car. There's a very famous quote by Simon Sinek, and he says, people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. So the why is the biggest part when it comes to a sales experience. You have to dive deep into that questioning about why a customer wants that very thing in the first place, to your point.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. All right, so do you have a good example of the kind of customer experience that you're talking about there when you, I don't know, when you're thinking of a company, I don't know if you have somebody in mind or maybe a service?
Absolutely.
Or talk about that.
Yeah, so I have a very famous story I tell wherever I speak around the country. So I went to the mall several years ago, and there was a kiosk in the mall that if you really want to learn how not to sell something, you will walk by this kiosk. It is the kiosk where they sell sea salt lotion from the Dead Sea. And usually there's two salespeople there, and they just grab you over to the kiosk, and they try to, you know, put the sea salt lotion, this magical sea salt lotion. It's a really horrible experience. In fact, every time I walk by that kiosk, I pull out my phone and pretend to talk to someone just so I don't have to even stare or look or be bothered by those people. So I walked by this kiosk, and, you know, it was just really, I felt really uncomfortable because they were really pushy and salesy. I get past the kiosk after about a couple of minutes. I walk into a Foot Locker. Person walks up to me. I expect for the salesperson to say, "What can I help you with today?" Instead, he says, "Hey, nice Nike TR 4.0 sneakers you have on." And those are the actual make and model of the sneaker. He could have just said nice sneakers. He's like, "Nice Nike TR." So I was a little taken back, and I said, "Wow, that's pretty cool that you know that." He goes, "Do you like to run?" I said, "Well, yeah, I like to run, but a lot of times when I'm giving public speaking speeches, I like to wear this lower profile sneaker." And he goes, "Oh, that's cool. You know, I like to run myself." That starts a conversation about where does he work out. Several minutes went by. We actually didn't talk about anything having to do with what was in Foot Locker. Nothing about what sale was going on, what promotion was going on, nothing. But after several minutes, we had a great conversation. He turns to me and he says, "By the way, Corey, just so you know, this shelf right here, if you buy 8 socks, you get 8 for free." And I thought to myself, wait a second, I can get 16 pairs of socks for the price of 8? And I said, yes, I want. And the funny part about the story is I don't need socks. But the real reason why I was comfortable buying 16 pairs of socks is because I felt comfortable with the salesperson. It took 8 minutes for that salesperson to even talk about anything in the store. And that is a metaphor for all salespeople. And there's a lesson there, right? Is that stop selling in the beginning of an experience with a customer and just start getting to know them instead. Be a little relatable as well. And then ask for the sale at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting, the other takeaway I got from your story is if you're in that industry, really know your industry. Because how many Foot Locker employees would be able to see you walk in and say, "Hey, that's a great pair of XYZ, you know, shoes you got there or sneakers you got there." Most people aren't that, expert about what they're about their craft. Here's a gentleman who immediately is like you said, he's going to disrupt your pattern. He's going to take you back a little bit because he's talking about and this is what I love about that story is that he is able to show off his expertise without being a show off, because he's complimenting you about a specific pair of shoes that you're wearing. And as you said, it really took you back.
100%. And I have a whole chapter in my book that talks about knowing your product. Another big miss by a salesperson, and you, again, great points that you bring up, is one, they lack the ability to build rapport, right? But two, they gloss over the real needs and wants of the customer. But three, they don't know their product. You know how many times I sat in front of a sales group that worked for a gym, and when I ask who works out at the gym that you work at, only 50% of the hands go up. And yet those people are expected to sell gym memberships. A great question I love to ask when I go to a car dealer is, what kind of car do you drive, right? Which, think about that. Like, if I'm at a Honda dealership, I want to know that the dealer drives a Honda, right? Bottom line. So exactly, right? You got to know your product or service. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, that's incredible. Since you brought up the whole health club industry, I also grew up in the health club industry, and I have never seen so many, I'll just simply say it like this. I've never seen so many fat personal trainers that I've seen in the last decade. It's like, you know, they go to school, they become personal trainers, and then they don't work out anymore. It is just, it's gotten bad at, but for another show. But all right. So I, you know, this is so important. We're talking about you know, how to become a more successful salesperson. My guest today is Corey Angelin, and his best-selling book is Sell Out, How a Great Experience Can Help You Sell Out. This is so important because one of the great lessons that I have seen from companies like Zappos, which is touted quite frequently when you're talking about great experiences.
Yep.
And so here's Zappos, who were not selling, quote, the cheapest shoes, but they were selling the best customer experience. And Tony Hsieh did an incredible job of focusing just on the customer experience and not on selling cheap shoes. And, you know, Zappos became so big that, or so famous or so profitable that Amazon bought them out for several billion dollars.
You know, it's funny you mentioned Zappos. So every time I speak, I talk about four companies when we talk about people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it, right? Zappos
right.
is one of them. Apple, Starbucks, Disney, right? Mm-hmm. And Starbucks, I find myself talking a lot about because Howard Schultz, the former CEO of Starbucks, his favorite line to say to people was, it's not about the coffee. Think about that, right? So every day I go to Starbucks, true story, twice a day, I spend $2.50 on a cup of coffee that in all honesty, I think is average tasting. I mean, I don't love it, but I don't hate it. It's kind of average. And yet every single day, twice a day, I go to Starbucks. But the reason is not because of the coffee. It's because of the experience that you get. You can actually walk into Starbucks and achieve stuff in your daily life. You can work on a term paper. You could go on a date. You could do a job interview, right? You speak a different language. I never took Italian. And yet when I'm in Starbucks, I say things like venti macchiata, right? Or grande pike, right? We don't say medium or large. You want a medium or large, you go to Dunkin' Donuts. You don't go to Starbucks. That's what great brands do, right? People
yeah.
don't buy what you do. They buy why you do it.
Absolutely. Look, interestingly enough, one of my favorite stories to tell is about McDonald's clean bathrooms. If you've ever done a road trip, especially if you've ever done a road trip with a female companion, clean bathrooms are an essential tool or an essential must have. I don't know what you know. It's an essential part of the trip. And so if you're on a road trip, my wife will wait until we can find a place that she knows is a clean bathroom experience. And so we're stopping at a McDonald's because we know that they maintain their bathrooms at a certain level of cleanliness, acceptable to my female companion. And of course, while we're there, we generally buy something else, right? Maybe it's a Diet Coke or, you know, ice cream cone or something. But it's interesting to me that McDonald's has done this on a couple of different levels. First of all, they've done it with the restrooms. And second of all, they've done it with the kiddie playground. You don't go to McDonald's,
absolutely.
You know, you don't necessarily go to McDonald's because the food is great. As you said, it's you know, back to Starbucks, it's rather average. You know, it's not like you go, man, those Big Macs are the best in the world. There are some
yeah.
people who love Big Macs. But I think generally, most people go to McDonald's because it's convenient, because you know what to expect. The experience is going to be the same. And if you have children and it's really hot or really cold, they have a playground where you can take your kids. You can maybe have some coffee or, again, a Diet Coke. You can be on your phone or on your laptop, maybe get a little work done. But the kids get a place to play, and you get not necessarily peace and quiet, but maybe peace of mind that they're having a good
peace
experience.
Peace of mind.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
This idea of an experience is, I think, baffling to most people. I think that, you know, people, startups or maybe less sophisticated entrepreneurs, and I want to get your opinion on this, they overlook, quote, the experience and focus just on the money. Hey, we have the cheapest product. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I tell people all the time, if you want to be a great salesperson, stop selling. I mean, to your point, right? For me, A sale is nothing more than a transaction of money. That's like the definition of a sale to me, right? In other words,
right.
You actually pull out your credit card, I run a payment, I give you a receipt, that's a sale. A sale, therefore, should always happen at the end of an experience. No one walks in the store and gives you their credit card. You do some stuff first, and then at the end is the sale. So stop focusing on the numbers, right? Again, if you build a rapport, you therefore are building trust with the customer, it is a lot more likely that they will pull out their credit card at the end, right, and purchase something.
Yeah, absolutely. And to your point, we, meaning us humans, we have all had an experience where maybe we were tight on funds or maybe we really could not afford something, but because we trusted the salesperson, we trusted him as a consultant, we trusted his advice or her advice, we felt, man, I better take advantage of this situation now.
Yep.
Trust is the ultimate thing that we sell. Trust is it.
Absolutely.
You know, we will go out of our way if we trust somebody. I mean, look how many times, you know, again, we as human beings, we will go out of our way to a trusted doctor. Women, and again, you know, this has been my experience, women tend to go out of their way to a trusted hairdresser. I mean,
yeah.
You know,
so do
I don't care where I get my haircut. I sincerely don't care where I get my haircut when I used to, quote, have to get a haircut. But,
yeah.
You know, to me, hey, a $10 haircut or $12 haircut was about, you know, was basically good enough. And I was of the mindset that even if they cut my hair badly, it's going to grow back. I don't care. You know, so to me, a haircut wasn't that big a deal. But for my wife, she'll travel 30, 40 minutes, an hour to get to that hairdresser that she trusts because it's so important.
Absolutely. You're 100% right. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, people will be willing to spend more money on something as long as they get a great experience, period.
Yes, absolutely. All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you're joining us now, my guest today, Corey Angelin, the book we're talking about is Sellout, How a Great Experience Can Help You Sell Out of Your Product. All right, so let me ask you this. You're sitting here. I don't know if you had this thought. So you're putting this book together, and did you have the thought of there are a lot of sales books out there? Did that enter your mind? I mean, why write a book?
Yep.
Why write this book?
I only wrote the book for one reason. All those sales books that I have read in the past tell you how to sell. I talk about throughout the country whenever I speak to not sell. So I, you know, in my own thought, I'm sure I'm not the only person that's come up with this, you know, genius idea. But really, my take on sales, I believe, is really unique in the sense of it's the complete opposite of everyone else. I'm going to teach you how not to sell. A sale happens at the end. I talk about how you ask for a sale. I mean, remember, you're not playing with your own money. That's, I think, a mistake a lot of salespeople make because $100 is a lot to them. They're afraid to ask for $100. But regardless of that, all I teach you is how to build rapport. What are those great questions that you can ask to plant seeds, overcome objections, things like that? How to get to know a customer's goals and spend a lot of time on that because that's really important. How to be relatable. And then at the end of all that, it's okay to ask for the sale. So that's why I wrote the book, is to be the complete opposite of every other salesperson out there.
Gotcha. I love that. So it's not how to close the sale per se, because there's tons of books on the, quote, technical aspect of closing the sale and covering the objection. You really focus on creating a customer experience that leads to trust, that organically kind of leads to the sale.
Yeah, there are so many books on closing the deal. I love that because – people that read those books are still horrible at closing the deal.
Yeah.
You know? So I, a lot of the content in the book came from real stories like that one in the mall several years ago. They're all real stories that I've lived through that had a meaning and a point to it at the end of that experience. 9 times out of 10, I ended up either buying a product or service simply because the experience is great in anything, right? It doesn't matter if you're in fitness or car dealerships or product is product, service is service, sales is sales.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about this. And again, if you're a salesperson, no offense, but you know, you've talked about why so many salespeople are not successful, why they're so horrible about it. And I do want to kind of focus on that a little bit more. You know, it seems to me, and again, I want your opinion on this. It seems to me that this is at least my experience. So I want to say maybe even the first 10 years when I was in a sales career, you know, as a salesperson, you're constantly answering ads that are, you know, looking for, you know, money motivated, self-motivated type salespeople, right?
Sure.
As opposed to the people out there who are not money motivated. I don't know who those are. I've never found somebody who's, you know, I'm not interested. Thank you. But
exactly.
You know, but I think one of the crucial mistakes and this is why we have so many awful salespeople is because there is this emphasis on money, money, money. And so you have salespeople that go from job to job to job because they're focused on the money, money, money versus your emphasis, which is customer experience, customer experience, customer experience. And I think this is one of the reasons that the sales industry breeds so many bad salespeople. Your thought?
Yeah. Horrible retention for sure. I mean, one of the, you know, there are a couple of statistics I studied the last couple of years. It's something like 88% of customers feel like a salesperson doesn't spend enough time in getting to know what their needs and wants are. It's like 92% of salespeople don't have the right skill set to sell, right? So that's why you have retention problems. And again, it comes back to the first thing I said today, which was we don't go to school to learn how to sell. So really what you find is every salesperson out there tries to figure it out, you know, by themselves. And it's almost like professional sports, right? Like the top 5% of America can even play professional sports. It's the same thing with sales, right? Like we have a billion people in sales, but there's really only great salespeople. And then there's everybody else.
Yeah. 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 That's interesting. And, you know, I want to go back to what you said when you were going through your schooling. Not only did they not teach you how to sell, did they teach you by chance how to build rapport? Was that part of any of your classes?
You know, what I always tell people is the fitness industry and being a fitness professional afforded me the luxury to learn how to build rapport. I mean, you know, think about it. What a trainer does is sell themselves. I mean, I don't have a product to sell. My product is the ability to reach your fitness goals in life, right? So you are one-on-one time with a person all of the time. So ultimately, it really does teach you, you know, and that's how I really learned the last 20 years is that one-on-one time or that small group time where I got to interact with people day in and day out.
Yeah, yeah. I love that. Okay, let's talk about this. QVC. I want to talk a little bit about your experience on QVC. Talk about that. How did that happen? What were you selling?
Sure, I sold a fitness product. I invented a fitness product. I was able to get on QVC. And when you want to talk about great salespeople, I will tell you the hosts on QVC have such a special talent. I mean, you only really meet them 10 minutes before. They spend a couple of minutes studying your product. But when you watch them go live, it's amazing. You would think they use your product for months and years. That's a special talent, but it's just the skill set of what they really are conveying to the customer. And again, it goes back to people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. They talk a lot, and I talk a lot when I'm on there, about why you should want this particular product or service, not because it's got a great special deal on it. That's important. Price is always important, but it's not the end all be all. So yeah, QVC was a great opportunity to learn to talk about why someone would want my product specifically and what it could do for your life. And then after all that, there's a price associated with it. But it was a great experience for sure.
Excellent, excellent. All right. So after you had that experience on QVC, did that affect or change how you sold?
You know, it did and it didn't. I mean, I've always been a firm believer that if you spend a lot of time on customer experience, that can mean minutes, or it can mean, you know, 30 minutes, 45 minutes an hour. But QVC is unique. I mean, you have several cameras, you know, staring at you, and you're live, right? And you're really at the mercy of the host. So, you know, that's why it's a give and take relationship. But what I did take from that is to really emphasize the why behind something, whether it's a personal training service or whether it's a product or something, because the why at the end of the day is the most important thing you need to understand as to why that customer would want your product or service in the first place.
Yeah. And what was that Simon Sinek quote that you started the show with?
Yeah, it was people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. It's one of my favorite quotes.
Yeah. And this is important for people to understand, because when you look at anything out there, you know, Tom's Shoes to me is a great example of what we're talking about today. It's not only a customer experience, but it became a movement.
Yeah, true.
And people bought why Tom's Shoes, why they did what they did versus what they did. And because they bought why they were, you know, Tom's Shoes was doing what they were doing, it literally exploded. It was, you know, as customers, when you ask people, why did you buy that pair of shoes from Tom's Shoes? They immediately told you, oh, because I'm supporting their cause. I love the fact that I'm buying a pair of shoes and they're going to give another pair of shoes to a third world country. That was a remarkable thing.
Absolutely. You're exactly right. I firmly believe that. That's why they're a great brand.
Yeah. And I want people to understand that, again, you know, this is an experience taken all the way to a movement. So this is why it's so important. All right. So let me ask you this. Here you are. You're a popular motivational speaker. You're a trainer. What's one of the questions that you get more than any other?
Yeah. I mean, how do you ask for a sale? And it is a very, you know, you build rapport. How do you actually ask for the money? Very simple, right? I think we overthink this. You're the expert, right? So if you sell a product or service, you're the expert. So what you need to do is you need to recommend what you think that customer would want. And the reason why you make a recommendation is because you're the expert, right? But you always follow it up with the reason why you're recommending it, right? We actually do this all the time. I'm sure at some point you tried to get your best friend or your wife to go see a favorite movie of yours or to go to your favorite restaurant, right? So you would say, oh, we got to go see this movie because it's so funny. It's got so-and-so in it, right? We actually do this all the time. So, you know, the next time you're trying to make a sale, at the end of that experience, make a recommendation, back it up with one or two reasons why, and then just let the person answer. Let the customer say yes or no. Simple.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that so very much. We do overcomplicate it. All right, so let's talk real quickly. When it comes to somebody that maybe considers themselves a small business, or they consider themselves, hey, I'm not a salesperson, or I don't like to sell, how can a small business owner, maybe somebody who's not comfortable with the, quote, traditional sales strategies, take the information in this book and improve their customer base?
Yeah, so I'll kind of summarize my 4 points that if you're a small business owner, it's just perfect. Some time on that person that walks in the door, for sure, right? So spend some time asking questions, getting to know them. Stop talking about anything that you sell at first, right? The second thing is then start asking about what that customer wants. Why did that person come in here? Right. So whatever your small business is, obviously you're going to ask what they walk in the door for. Third thing is be relatable. If you're a small business owner, talk about why you're there, why you own that business, or what got you into the business. People want to know that. Right. And then the last thing is, at the end of all that, ask for the sale, which is the way we just talked about it. You're the expert. You're the owner. Ask for it. Give a reason why they should have it. And then just let the customer answer.
I love it. I love it. All right. So let me ask you this, and here you are, you're a speaker, an author, you've been on live TV, QVC, which is definitely different than being on a live, let's say, talk show. How do you deal with fear? Because all of these things that you've done probably had a little element of fear or doubt. How do you deal with when fear rears its ugly head?
Sure, practice. Simple.
What's that?
It's like an athlete. Practice. Right?
I love it.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately it comes down to the ability to take your skill set and then role play and practice over and over and over again. It's okay to be a little, you know, be a little nervous, but at the end of the day, you need to practice your skill set for sure.
Yeah, I like that because how many times have we heard, you know, preparation, something to do with preparation.
Yeah.
So if you're prepared, you're gonna be prepared. You're gonna be ready. You don't have to be perfect, but you have to be prepared. Back to the gentleman at the mall who knew which pair of shoes you were wearing the minute you walked out.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, that's prepared. That guy knows his stuff. All right. Corey, so my final question is, if somebody wants to get a hold of your book or wants to check you out for a speaker or a trainer, how can people find out more about you?
Sure. Well, that's the easiest question of all. Just go to CoreyAngelin.com, CoreyAngelin.com. Simple.
Great. Thank you, Corey. Looking forward to having you back on the show.
Great job. Appreciate it.
You bet. Good stuff there from Corey Angelin, best-selling author of the book Sell Out: How a Great Experience Can Help You Sell Out of Your Product. And let me tell you, I love his attitude. The sales industry in general kind of needs a mental enema, maybe a strategy enema. There's a lot of changes that, you know, that Corey talks about in his book, and I agree with that, just need to change. We have to get away from being the salesy closer type. My favorite industry to look at is the auto industry. Some of the worst salespeople, some of the worst sales strategies are constantly visible at an auto dealership. Again, if you own an auto dealership or if you work in an auto dealership as a salesperson, I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm just trying to let you know that for most customers, they don't like experience. It's too salesy. There is no service after the sale. And if you don't believe me, just go out there and start surveying customers. It's just an area that needs massive improvement. Anyway, my friends, please, let's share this episode with everybody you know. Let's help as many people sell out of their product or their service. Remember, my friends, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.